The following is a paid presentation. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of Shiawassee Radio.
This is your cell. This is your bunk.
This is the Jail Visit on Shiawassee Radio, live from the Cofield Oil and Propane Studios. Here's attorney Bill Amadeo.
Yep, okay. I am Bill Amadeo from McManus Amadeo and Grable and Associates. And we are so behind on content. What's up, live audience? Live audience is here. They're very excited. Today, I actually won two preliminary exams. Do you know how insane that is? One was a preliminary hearing for a CPS matter. So it wasn't really a preliminary exam. Another was a pre-plim. And I gotta tell you, it really made me think about the difference between Jersey and Michigan, because a preliminary exam, that's the equivalent of you arguing to your ex's best friend why your ex was at fault in this relationship. They can do all sorts of interesting things. So they usually take their friend's side. But I'll admit, I get treated a lot better today than I did in 2017. Usually when a judge rules against me, they know me, they brag about me. You know, you're lucky you got your lawyer here, you know, but it was just interesting today because it really hit me, the difference between Michigan and Jersey on some things. So let's break it apart. First thing I'm going to talk about in the court system, the parking situation. In Jersey, you generally have to park a half mile away to get to court. And when you get to that parking lot, you gotta pay cash and leave your keys. Which is, I'll need $20 in cash of your keys, sir. Surprisingly, my Oakleys were never there when I got out of court. It was horrible. In Michigan, like in Washtenaw District Court, there's a better parking structure there than most Major League Baseball stadiums. It's funny. Like, if you go to Wayne County, you should park at Greektown Casino. If you go to Lapeer, they have some great parking structure for you, for all 12 of their residents. Washtenaw, the circuit courts are a little rougher. You gotta park like a block or two away, but the district courts, man, they roll out the red carpet for you. They got these amazing parking structures. Security. Let's talk about security in the court system. And this is really a county-by-county thing in Michigan. So we're going to talk broad versus narrow. In Jersey, you need dental records to get in the court. You give them your driver's license, your bar card, and they want another form of identification. I don't care who you are. I need another form of identification. In Michigan, for certain courts have good security. You take off your belt. You take out metal things in your pocket. You go through. Doesn't always work like that in every court. I want to tell you a story about Lapeer once. Lapeer did not have security in their courts. So, remember, Scott sends me out to a Lapeer case, Grable, in 2017. And I'm seeing this guy out there, and he's screaming at his wife. And these two are, like, in each other's face. And he's open carrying a pistol, right? He walks right in the court. I'm thinking, oh, well, security will stop him. There was no security. Up north, and I've been up north before. There was a case at Rabbi Guru Murphy one time. They put you on the honor code. There's, like, no security guard in this one court, and the metal detector goes off, and they put a sign up, please do not bring in weapons. Hey, Brian Lundy, what's up? I mean, dude, that's... It's an interesting situation. Let's talk about food. In Jersey, there are the most amazing food carts. After you make your half-mile walk and gave your $20 to rob the attendant and your keys, you could have a cheesesteak, you got pizza, you got this, you got that. They're like food carts are like camped out outside the courthouses. In Michigan, I've seen one food cart in my career, and it was for vegan hot dogs. Just, It's not good. Preliminary exams. Okay. In Michigan, we have district court, where you start your prelims, you do your misdemeanors. In Jersey, you have municipal court. And this is why today was awesome with winning those prelims. I swear, in district court here, it's almost like a given the case is going to get bound over. I have had counts dismissed. Witnesses not show up. I had this one prelim where the girl claimed it happened on August 26th. It was the first day of school. I remember it like it was yesterday. And then we proved that she never met the guy until October 9th. And the judge was like, I find her very credible. I'm raising the guy's bond. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, a prelim in Michigan is literally arguing to your ex-girlfriend's best friend why there's not probable cause. And if they say anything happened, he looked crooked at me. That's enough. We're bound this thing over. But some judges are really fair. They know it's a low burden, but they're going to be fair with it. Other judges, they like to flex their muscle. I can think of one judge who I cannot stand. And this individual, without the prosecutor saying anything, this person will try to raise bond on you. I said to this person one time, why don't you just sit the prosecutor's table? Literally. It was a case I won at trial. I destroyed the witness at the prelim. The cops literally destroyed evidence. And the judge raised bond on this person. Now, in Jersey, it's a little different. You bring a bullshit case in Jersey municipal court, the judge is annoyed. Here, many judges want to help out the prosecutor. They'll start asking questions. I think you missed the element of venue. Let me ask it for you. In Jersey, they're like, nope, dismissal without prejudice. Start this shit over. In Jersey, prelims, the version of prelims in Jersey, whole different ballgame. I swear, in Jersey, they're looking to dismiss shit. Here, looking to add charges and pump up your bond. And I love some district court judges, but the bad ones, you gotta know. This is why you gotta know the language of a court. In Wayne County, you could run a prelim without fear of that. In Genesee, you could run a prelim without fear of that. There's other counties where if you run a prelim, the judge will penalize you. And sometimes you want to lock testimony in, right? And you know, you gotta tell your client, hey, I'm gonna lock testimony in, but they're gonna jack up your bond, but we gotta do this, and here's why. I had one person who's a competitor who's been talking shit about me saying that I waive prelims. Well, I know who to waive prelims for. Am I right? Hey, come on! You need to know the pulse of the court. You need to know when the district court judge is gonna be fair or when they're gonna be an extension of the prosecutor. You need to know when the witness is going to tell you what you want. You never ask a question you know the answer to. I swear, I have been in prelims where I literally got the person to recant, change time, date, location, and it still got bound over. Well, they said something happened. That's good enough for me. I had this prelim one time in a county where the letter is like towards the middle of the alphabet. So, the prosecutor on the other side, she was an older woman. And I contact her. I'm like, hey, it was a CSC3. Like, I think I'm missing evidence. She goes, why do you say that? Well, there's a 4-page report here. I usually get like 15 pages for drinking and driving. This can't possibly be a 15-year felony. She goes, I have 4 pages too. So, okay. So on page 3 of 4, it says how the alleged victim was recorded. I got the disc, and it's blank. Do you have a copy of the recording? Well, why do you need a copy of the recording? Because I want to compare it to your 4-page police report to see if the cops lied about anything. Well, she's getting really hostile. She calls the police. The police tell her it must have been deleted. They don't have another copy. So, okay, are you going to interview the complaining witness again? She goes, well, we think we are. So I'm like, how did you issue this when there's a 4-page police report, you deleted evidence, and this poor bastard's facing 15 years felony and sex registration. Because that's what's in the report. So, I call her, because the prelim's going to be in 2 weeks. We waived the 14-7-day rule. I call her up, and I'm like, hey, how are you, Bill Amadeo? Please call me back. I need this evidence. So I call her the next day. Hey, it's Bill Amadeo. Need this evidence. Call her a third day. Nothing. And I'm like getting really frustrated here because she's blowing me off. So I email her every day up until the prelim. Hey, it's Bill. I need that evidence. Or if you're not going to do the evidence, let me know. You're going to recreate evidence or something so I can make an argument here. So we get to court. And we're arguing at a sidebar. And I said to the judge, Your Honor, I gotta be missing evidence here, right? I got a 4-page police report. Page 3, half the page says there's a recording. I don't have the recording. And the prosecutor says to the judge, we're not doing another recording. Then she gets on her high horse. She goes, let me also say something, and I'm not one to throw lawyers under the bus. Whenever you hear that, I'm not one to throw you under the bus. You know they're tossing you under the bus, right? I mean, and luckily, I'm good enough that I can go from county to county and like, eh. Then usually I get a call, hey, you don't give a shit about your reputation. You want to take this case? I'm like, yeah, I'm on it. So, oh God, do I love Shiawassee and Lenawee, where men are men, you know? You can just actually argue. God bless those counties. Hey, Mayor Ken. So she says to the judge, since Mr. Amadeo cares so much about this evidence, why didn't he follow up with me? I said, excuse me, Your Honor. I called her 3 days in a row. I emailed her 10 days in a row. And I put my phone, here's proof that I've been emailing her. And she goes, well, Judge, that may be true, but I don't check my emails. Like, oh my God! So, we run this prelim. I said, you know what? I'll waive the prelim. She goes, no. Unless your client pleads to a CSC-2. We're running this thing. Like, okay, lady, run it. Let's do this shit. Because now I'm just pissed off. I get the girl. The girl says it happened August 6th. Blah, blah, blah. I remember it like it was yesterday. I had text messages that shows she was a different state on August 6th. I got proof that she was in a mental institution. I got proof that she lied. Then, for force of coercion, I asked the question, did you ever say no? No, I did not. Did you ever fight it off? No, I did not. Did you ever convey you were unwilling to perform the sexual act? No, I did not. How is this force of coercion? Well, because he knew. Oh my God! So, we're doing our little argument at the end, right? Like, your version of closing at a preliminary exam? Like, Your Honor, she admitted she was in a mental hospital. She literally was somewhere else the day she claimed it happened. The police have missed evidence. There's a 4-page police report. And by her admission, she never even resisted or said no. So, judge goes his whole dicta. And the judge goes, Mr. Amadeo, you've proven there's no force of coercion. You've proven there's missing evidence. I don't believe this woman. She's not credible. We're battling this over. Like, oh my God. Like, are you kidding me? Holy shit. Oh, man. In Michigan, many judges will protect prosecutors. Cop hid evidence, not the prosecutor's fault. Cop destroyed evidence, don't you dare blame the prosecutor. In New Jersey, judge will like stare the prosecutor down. What do you mean that hand over evidence? Get out of here. Very different thing. In Michigan, you could end up on the sex registry if you have to urinate in public. True story. I remember I'm driving to court one day and I got caught in a traffic jam, and I'm doing, like, this two-a-day workout thing, drinking, like, 100 ounces of water before noon, and I have to go to the bathroom so bad. And in certain places, like go to a Dearborn gas station, they'll tell you can't use the bathroom. It doesn't work. And like you are like caught between, what do I do here? In fact, if you urinate in a bottle in your car, you could end up on the sex offender list. True story. In Jersey, the judges are taking leaks by trees, but I just feel like it. But I gotta give it to Michigan. Michigan is more professional. God bless Michigan. Because I'll tell you, when a cop hides evidence, they eventually admit it. I remember this one case. This piece of garbage prosecutor. She's looking to give my kid 25 years, right? And the cop put the police report. The girl had a rape kit done. It was not my client's DNA. The nurse called him and left a voicemail. And he puts his report, I did not return a phone call. In Jersey, they would just tore that shit up. You never would have known about it. Oh, thank God for dirty police officers in Michigan, because eventually they tell on themselves. They'll send an email. We destroyed evidence, but it was policy. Oh, God. I got a call the other day. This guy says to me, hey, they're charging with a CSC from 32 years ago. And I said, what part of Washington are they claiming you did? In Jersey, you report something like that, they're like, okay, sounds like you're a little jilted, right? I mean, it's a whole different ballgame. The attitude of lawyers are so different. Because in Jersey, they're all assholes, right? In Michigan, they're friendlier, but they're territorial. I'm outside Genesee County District Court one day, right? I'm outside 67th District. This homeless guy asked me for money. I pull out a $5 bill and I give it to him. And he's wearing a UNLV Running Rebel jacket. Larry Johnson, Anderson Hunt, Greg Anderson. This is one of my favorite teams growing up. And I'm out there. I give the guy a $5 bill. Hey, guys. And I'm talking college basketball from the 90s with him. And me and this homeless guy are shooting the shit. Like, hey, where'd you get the jacket? He got it from the shelter. And we're talking. I said, were you a big UNLV fan? He's like, yeah, Larry Johnson should have been one of the best players of all time. He didn't hurt his back. And me and this homeless guy, we're just chatting it up. And here comes this one asshole local. And he's staring at me. He goes, what are you doing here? I had a case. It's a long way from Ann Arbor. I get a lot of that. You know? Either they're amazing people or they are territorial like sorority girls. It's absolutely amazing. In Jersey, everybody just hates each other. Why are you here? Oh, I live 5 minutes away. Conference rooms. Jersey versus Michigan. This is amazing. In Jersey, they are so paranoid about the attorney-client privilege, right? You're there talking to your client, and the janitor walks by and sweeps. Security's like, get the hell out of there! In Michigan, like Detroit. You got a client in holding, you're in the bullpen, right? And what they do is they make you go through this door, and you're yelling to your client, hey, you failed the polygraph! You know, it's like, shut up, dude! I remember I said to this one security guard in Wayne County, like, hey, I don't want to talk to my client with these people here. Well, what do you want me to do? I need to talk in private. I don't want to talk about this shit with other people there. There's like 20 inmates in this little holding cell. They want you to peer through. Hey, let's talk about pivotal stuff in the case, you know? In Jersey, it's like the prisoner will get his own little sauna. Come in, sir. Discuss. Whole different ballgame. Coffee shops are different. In Jersey, there was this one guy, and he was, like, legally blind. And he was always open, like, 8 to 4 in this one municipal court in Jersey. And he would scream at you when you came in, you're stealing Gatorade! I'm like, well, how would he know, right? But I never stole anything. But the coffee shops in Jersey, they scream at you. In Michigan, they're very nice, but they're open from 11:45 to 12:15. And then they'll put a sign up. You can order online. Our website's probably down. So if you get in that 30 minutes, you're good to go. I remember this one coffee shop. Me and Megan Mass had a case together, right? And I think this guy at the coffee shop had a crush on her. And I forget, I went down to get Meg something. And this guy's like, what are you doing here? Where's Megan? Like, he knew her or something. In Jersey, they just want to grab your money. In Michigan, you drop a $20 bill on the floor. They're telling you, excuse me, sir, I think you dropped this $20. In Jersey, they see you dropping a $20, like, oh, this is the guy we want to rob us. Oh my God, he's got cash! Let's get this son of a bitch! The bathrooms. Okay. Depends what court you are in Michigan. Some of the bathrooms are amazing. But if your court has a trough, watch your back. Remember, I'm in this trial up north. And there's like these troughs, right? And the janitors, they don't care. I'm like using the bathroom. This guy just throws a bucket of ice as I'm urinating. I'm like, sir, what are you doing? Ah, screw you. I got a job to do. In Jersey, depending on the court, the bathrooms are pristine. Some Michigan courts do a good job. Always tell the quality of the court by the condition of the bathroom. When you have a trough in a northern part of Michigan, you know, I gotta be in and out here. I gotta make my point quickly. When the bathroom says, oh, welcome, sir, please make your argument today. The attorney general's offices are different between New Jersey and Michigan. In New Jersey, remember my ICL training, continuing legal education, right? You pass the bar, and now New Jersey wants money from you, continuing legal education. Remember the attorney general that spoke to us, the assistant attorney general? This guy, he came and spoke, and he was drunk. And he was, like, hitting on young law students. And he's telling his story, like this and that, and this guy's drunk. In Michigan, the attorney generals hold press conferences when they get a prelim bound over. Remember that? We will not stand for police brutality. We won the prelim today. Oh my God, it was a prelim. Stop. I gotta tell you, in Michigan, many prosecutions are about politics. In Jersey, it's just about who's scamming money. I tell you, as a kid from the ghetto, I never feel more at home as when I'm in Wayne County and people are screaming at each other. But your behavior is different, okay? In Wayne County, you can do just about anything. Shiawassee Lane, where I love, you got to come dressed and prepared. Wayne County, you're like looking like, man, did that poor guy... Did he take a shower today? Remember one time, this one lawyer was pissed off at me. And she's like, we spoke to our ethics attorney about this. And he thinks Mr. Amadeo crossed the line. I never broke an ethics rule in my life. But I'm like, okay, where's your attorney? And there's some guy with a white shirt in the back. It looks like it was stained. And I'm like, I don't see him. They're like, John's right there! I'm like, what? This guy comes up, like, no suit, no tie, sneakers. And I gotta tell you something. I know people claim, well, you're white trash, you grew up in the ghetto. We always dressed appropriately. I hate that white trash logo, you know? My family, hey, we were poor. We never used drugs. We always worked our ass off. We always dressed nice for court. We were poor. But I'll tell you, when I see some shit go on certain courts, like, how can you come to court and not be dressed or showered? That's insane. In Jersey, you pull that, the judges make fun of you on the record. Zooms were fascinating, though, because during Zooms, you start making friends with different people, right? You are so goddamn bored because you're waiting in these Zoom rooms, so you start texting all these people. And then you make connections based on communication. It was a whole different world. Like, oh, I think Chris is a moron. He doesn't speak well. But he really texts great. And I noticed, because I was in the Zoom room with him. We're talking sports. It was wonderful. In Jersey, they're just angry. In a Michigan Zoom room, when you're held up late, you thank the judge for letting you in. In a Jersey Zoom room, when the judge held you up, the lawyers tell the judge off, and they just start a screaming match with each other. I remember in this Zoom room for 2 hours, right, waiting to get in. Good evening, Your Honor. William Amadeo, P76194 for Joe Smith. We both appear via Zoom. We have our right to be present in person. Joe, please state your name. This one judge goes, excuse me, Mr. Amadeo. This is my courtroom. Don't you ever tell your client to state their name. Oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. Mr. Smith, please state your name. Oh, my God. In Jersey, you do that, right? Good morning, Your Honor. William Amadeo, 2004-9276. For Joe Smith, we both appear via Zoom. We have a right to be present in person. Thank you. Somebody knows how to do a goddamn Zoom call. It's like a different world, man. Oh, my God. At the end of the day, I will take Michigan over Jersey based on the totality of the circumstances. I appreciate corrupt cops admitting to it so I can use it against them. I actually appreciate Dana Nessel. Some of her bullshit cases made us a lot of money. Oh, well, we don't have a body. The case was 27 years ago. Let's charge this man with first degree murder. We found a quarter in the ground, and we believe that quarter belonged to your client. Holy shit, let's extradite him then. It's election season. I will tell you though, even judges that don't like me, they're very nice 90 days before an election. Mr. Amadeo, always respected you. Please donate to my campaign. And they're really nice about it, you know? They'll pretend like they give a shit about you. Some of them. And by the way, there's some amazing judges. I'm talking about the assholes. People like Matthew Stewart, Michael Oldslaver, Judge Anna Zalone, Judge Slay. These are people I hold on a pedestal. These are people that inspire you to be a lawyer. But there are some other judges that, my God, did nobody else sign a petition that year? There are some judges that can't stand you. They will mock you on Zoom, but then it's time for an election. Like, oh, I always respected you. Please donate to my campaign. In Jersey, they're much more open about this. Look, I don't like you, but if you don't give me money, I'm really going to screw you over. Okay, Your Honor, do you take PayPal? But when a judge really sucks, they can always get a job teaching at Cooley. Oh, man. That's like Lost Soul. Remember Cerconi? Dean Cerconi. You cannot have a table at our school. Hey, Dean. What'd you get? 12 students last term there? I remember I was doing tutoring business. And Cerconi would not allow me to have a table to compete with Barbary. Because he thought he was a big deal. Oh, my God. Charlie Cerconi, man. How's it going, bro? You making rent money these days? All right. Any questions? I hope you enjoyed my non-filter, exhausting discussion of Jersey versus Michigan. End of the day, survey says Michigan wins!
The Jail Visit with attorney Bill Amadeo from McManus and Amadeo. Connect with McManus and Amadeo at McManusAmadeo.com or call 800-392-7311. This is The Jail Visit on Shiawassee Radio.
We're going to tell a story about a wedding announcement party in New Jersey. Let me explain something back in Jersey. So in Jersey, South Jersey in particular, a lot of idiots were looking for reasons to celebrate over anything. It was just one of those things, right? And the reality was, hold on. The reality was that if you had a big win or a big loss, whatever it was, let's go celebrate. We lost a big game. Let's go get drunk. We won a big game. Let's go get drunk. And sometimes what they would do is they'd have these parties, like Memorial Hall and places like that, where they would actually celebrate. Follow me on this, okay? They would celebrate announcing that they plan to get married, and that's what happened this day. Before we really get into it, I want to say happy birthday to Danielle Cattaray. Danny, I miss you so much. And one night, Danielle and I were talking late on the phone about a case, and Danielle was frustrated. And one of the things Danielle loved was me making fun of myself. And I tell her she was depressed one night, and I'm like, hey, I got a funny story for you. And the first thing Danny says is, oh God, please don't tell me your Donald Trump story again. I'm not in the mood. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna tell you the Donald Trump story. I said, but I'll tell you a story about people having a party to announce they were getting married. And I promise you, I will be one of the victims in the story. She goes, okay, I'm listening. She always enjoyed a good mock of me. Now, before we I know, right? Before we get into this, I'm gonna change the names because the three people involved are close friends of mine to this day. And it's a little embarrassing. I don't want to put their business out there. So we're going to call one Tom. Tom was a lawyer in Jersey. Dan, he's a police officer. Greg, he's in the medical profession. And me. These are all fake names of the four people at this party, but let's break it down. Greg, great guy. His ex-girlfriend is about to get married. We all suspect it. We get these invitations, like collated invitations, very expensive by New Jersey standards. But also furniture with plastic ones, also expensive by Jersey standards. Don't put too much into that, but okay. We get these invitations. It's a big announcement. Now, unless you're a moron, you kind of knew what this girl was going to say. Let's just call her Jane. Jane was going to announce that she was getting married. Now, Jane and Greg had dated. In fact, Greg, who's my boy, he still had deep feelings for Jane at the time. And there's this great song by Garth Brooks called Unanswered Prayers. Greg, you escaped this one, buddy. But Jane invites us to this party. And it is formal optional. Now, back then, what formal optional meant in New Jersey was you had to put on a turtleneck. Don't ask me why, but turtlenecks were a really big thing. And I've always had a really big neck for a short guy. It was always awkward with those damn turtlenecks. Remember the white and the black turtlenecks? We had like different color turtlenecks. So, me and my three friends, we go turtlenecking up to this party. And I said to the guys, why are we going to this? She's going to announce that she's getting married to some idiot. She's going to rub it in Greg's face. We don't need to be there for this shit. Greg wants to go. Tom and Dan were really into it. Now, you understand something. At this point in my life, I'm not in law school yet, and I'm going crazy. I'm still bartending at Tropicana. I keep failing the LSAT. If you could fail the LSAT, that's a story for another time. And I see a lot of people who I don't feel are as intelligent as myself becoming lawyers. And I'm bartending my ass off, and I'm studying for the LSAT, and I'm going to these stupid parties, and I'm hanging out with women I don't want to hang out with, but you're bored. Right, let's go to the party. Now, the party is in Mays Landing. Mays Landing is probably about 40 minutes from Atlantic City area. It's where Atlantic Cape Community College is. But in Mays Landing, if Jersey has farmland, it'd be like backwoods stuff, right? There's the Hamilton Mall, there was the Atlantic City Racetrack, and then behind there, tons of trees and stuff. It's easy to get lost, and my sense of direction's always sucked. I had bought Dan a GPS. Now, back then, a GPS was a special thing, and I was a gift for him. And I said to Dan, hey, bring your GPS. I don't want to get lost going to this thing. Okay. Here was the thing about Dan. Dan was a bit of a pre-gamer. Liked to drink before events. Smart guy, nice guy, but he had an overinflated ego, and while during his military experience, he won this competition, how to find his way back without a compass. So the GPS he felt was kind of a slight to him, and despite his amazing ability in the military to find places, he would often get lost going to the park. The GPS will solve this, right? And for some reason, couldn't really afford multiple GPSs back then, I gave him the GPS as a gift with the notation, if we drive somewhere long distance, you gotta bring the GPS. Of course he doesn't bring the GPS, and I realize it's about 15 minutes into the trip. I say to the guys, oh shit, this is gonna be one of those weird turns. Hey, Dan, wink. I'm not going to say his real name. Pull up the GPS. Let's plug that thing in. I didn't bring the GPS. Why not? Because I won this competition in the military. Okay. So now at this point, you're thinking to yourself, do I go back to Dan's house to get the GPS? Do we keep driving? He's drunk. Tom wants to get drinking. Greg's depressed. I say to Greg, hey, I'm going to go back to his house and get this GPS. I don't want to get lost. Greg's like, no, no, we'll be fine. Just go. I start screaming at Dan, why don't you bring the goddamn GPS? I bought you the GPS for situations just like this. Is the GPS going to weigh down the car or something? Even if you know where you're going, why is it a bad thing to have a GPS? That, oh, it pissed me off. Go on and on. So we're driving to the friggin' woods, getting lost. We go to the party, rolling out in our turtlenecks, right? Now, Jane, the girl who Greg, I'm really trying to protect these names, okay? I just want to say the real names, but I'm not going to. There was weird situations there because Greg was a very religious guy. And Jane said to Greg, if you love me, you'll turn your back on the Catholic faith. And this was a big no-no. I remember we're meeting with Greg's family to discuss the aspect of him leaving the Catholic faith because he loved this woman so much. And by the way, she wasn't that religious. She was Methodist, but she acted like she was this huge religious person, which was all bullshit. It was just a control thing. This poor bastard doesn't give up the Catholic faith. I had to play a role in that. It was more like, hey, do you want to give up control? My God. She don't have to go to church with you, but if you want to go to church, who the hell is she to tell you not to or how to worship? And there was drama there. But he was still in love with her. And I'm saying to the guys, we pulled through the friggin' woods into this club, country club, whatever the hell it was. Are we sure we want to go in here? But we do. We roll in the turtlenecks and we're at the party. And we're seeing all sorts of people we don't want to hang out with. Fun fact. I had just gotten a rejection letter from Widener School of Law. I went to their trial admission program. And I'm out of my mind right now because I can't get into law school. It's that interval between failing out of Widener and getting into Cooley. And of course, one of my ex-girlfriends is there. She comes up to me, and she goes, hey, what are you doing here? I thought you'd be in Harrisburg. Ha, ha, ha. Well, Harrisburg is where Widener was. So she was mocking me for not going into law school. Appreciated that. And she goes, oh, I forgot you didn't get in. She goes, are you still bartending at Tiffany Lounge? Mocking me. And she goes, there's my boyfriend over there. Isn't he hot? So, I see this guy, really tall guy, with a Blockbuster shirt on, wiping his nose. He just did cocaine in the bathroom. And I tell her, he's a very lucky guy. She goes, you're damn right. She's pissed off. She's drinking. She goes back to Blockbuster Boy. I go up to the bar. Now, what Tom loved to do at parties, he loved to drink Amaretto Sours. But here's a spoiler alert. Whenever Tom drank the Amaretto Sours, he would puke his brains out. And he would just keep drinking them until he threw up. Dan would be doing shots of tequila with a Coors Light. And Dan had this line when he was drunk. And remember, he was pre-gaming already. Dan would tell women that he was one of the 25%. And what that meant was, we're going to keep this as PG as we can, he was one of the top 25% in the world with, you could figure out. And as stupid as that sounds, because how could he ever know if he was in that elite group? It worked for him. He'd go up to real pretty girls, and he'd be drunk, and he had this array of confidence. Oh, 25%! He used to scream it. And they'd think, oh shit, maybe he is, I don't know. And the drunker Dan got, the more he would brag about being in this elite 25% group. Tom just wants to get drunk. Greg and me don't drink. And Greg's extremely depressed. So I go up to the bar. And I'm the only one that's tipping good, by the way. I tell the bartender, Dan will have a shot of tequila and a Coors Light. Tom will have an Amaretto Sour. Me and Greg will have two ginger ales. And do me a favor, put a ton of ice in my ginger ales. To get through the evening, I was going to just keep chewing ice, because I'm miserable right now. I'm trying to be a good friend. This chick is rubbing her engagement to be in my friend's face. My other two boys are drunk off their ass. They're going to be drunk. Bartender starts making his drinks. And he puts in generic amaretto in the amaretto sour, right? And I said, oh, listen, do me a favor, man. Here's an extra $5. Please give Tom Di Serona. Give him the best amaretto you can. And the bartender starts getting into it. Man, I said, look, man, I get it. In a mixed drink, you probably can't tell. But I've been down this road before. And if you give him the good amaretto, he's not going to puke as bad as the house amaretto. So give him the good amaretto, please. I'll give you extra money, whatever. Just please don't give him the cheap shit. So they're all dancing and out there, and I'm hanging with Greg going over this. How's it going to be when you see her? Are you going to be okay? Blah, blah, blah. And he's telling me about these movies he's been watching, and he's been reading the Bible a lot. I'm like, oh, God. You know, in his mind, he thought he was meant to be there. In my mind, I want to get the hell out of here. And then there's this other idiot, Danny Morgan. Another fake name, but the initials, you'll get that. Danny Morgan was a somewhat successful lawyer that just graduated from Rutgers. And the thing that blew me away about Danny was, at fantasy baseball drafts, you had to slow down. The casino workers were talking too fast for Danny to keep up. Yet he killed the LSAT and was an amazing lawyer, so they said. Danny can't keep up with the fantasy baseball draft. Tom is going to puke on Amaretto Sours. Both these guys are in law school. I can't get in. I'm trying to beat her for Greg, who's my friend. One of my exes comes up to me. She's screwing Blockbuster Boys using coke. Ugh. The band. The music was interesting. I always have to wonder about the future of a relationship when the band plays Take It on the Run by REO Speedwagon at an engagement party. Look up the lyrics. And then they played Little Red Corvette. One of the problems I have with music is I overthink things and I catch the lyrics really quick. And listen to the lyrics of Little Red Corvette by Prince and Take It on the Run by REO Speedwagon. And you tell me if that is great engagement music. Later in life, I'd be at a wedding party where the band would play Heart Songs by Weezer and Brighter by Paramore. And I can tell you right now, have a good divorce lawyer on call for that one. Anyway, the band sucks, and they're loud as hell. I'm chewing on ice. My ex-girlfriends mock me for not being in law school. I'm seeing idiots in law school. After a while, Tommy, he's going to start puking as I'm out of Sours. So I take him into the bathroom. He's puking his brains out. I'm giving him water to hydrate. It's like he's getting dehydrated. Dan is out there on the dance floor with three girls, which look like a scene from Shallow Hal. I'll leave that to the imagination. And he's screaming, 25%, 25%, and it's working for him. I'm sitting there with Greg, and Jane comes out. And Jane beelines over to Greg. And I'm sitting there, just watching this whole thing. She goes, oh, I can't believe you came. This is so great. I always want us to be friends. I'm going to announce that I'm getting engaged to somebody today. He's like trying to hold back the tears, and I'm like elbowing him, like, don't show her you're upset. And I'm, you know, defending my friend, saying, oh, well now, I'm sure whoever you're with is not going to be as successful or as good looking as Greg, but congratulations to you. We don't want to wreck your day. We're going to get out of here now. Well, out comes the fiance. Holy shit. Dude, it looked like Greg's twin. We're all just sitting there, like, stunned. Like, the guy that she was going to marry was a goddamn identical twin to my friend Greg, who's depressed because he wouldn't give up his religion for Jane. I'm chewing the ice, right? Like, this is like a bad dream. And all I'm thinking is, man, how am I not in law school right now? Hanging with my boy Greg, and I'm patting him on the shoulder. Hey, dude, let's get out of here. It's fine. Dan is drunk, yelling his 25%. Tommy's puking on Amaretta Sours, trying to get with different girls. Danny Morgan, the successful lawyer, can't keep up with the fantasy baseball draft. I'm sucking on ginger ales. The band is playing weird, adulterous type music. Finally, the band plays Angel by Aerosmith. And my ex-girlfriend comes rolling over to me because Blockbuster Boy keeps running to the bathroom. He had a drug problem, apparently. She was moved by the song, says, hey, let's get out of here. And I'm like, no, will you please leave me the hell alone? I mean, I'm miserable, but you're trying to be a good friend, right? She makes this move on me, and I said something to the effect of, maybe for foreplay, he could take off a Blockbuster shirt, put a FedEx shirt on. Leave me alone. That was not the thing to say to her when she was intoxicated. She takes a drink, throws it in my face. She's pissed off and crying. Blockbuster Boy's still getting high. Greg is distraught. Dan is getting numbers with the 25% line. Tommy keeps puking on the Amaretta Sours. Eventually, the night ends. We get the hell out of there, right? I'm in the car now, driving, as the only one who is either sober or mentally stable at this point, because my friend Greg is a little distraught. It's raining, we're in the backwoods, we don't have the goddamn GPS, because Mr. 25% won a military award and can't put a GPS system in the friggin' car. God, this man. And we're in silence in the car, right? And I'm like, am I the only one who's going to say it? Does her fiance look identical to Greg? And they're like, oh shit, you're right. Who didn't see this? As we get home, I drop off the drunks. I go to Greg's house. And we're playing Madden football, and I suck at Madden. And he's beating my ass and feeling better about life. He's beating me at this and tells me how he's letting up his religion and he wants to find a good Catholic girl and blah, blah, blah. Hug each other goodbye. Get the hell out of there. On my cell phone, there's a bunch of missed calls from the ex. I went home, I woke my dog, went to sleep, and that was the end of it. And I thought, well, before I went to sleep, I will say, I did a bunch more practice questions on the LSAT, because I said to myself, there's no way in hell I'm not going to get into law school. This is ridiculous. I got a drunken guy puke on amaretto sours, who, I love you, by the way, but come on, dude, you were drunk on amaretto sours. And Donnie Morgan, Mr. Slowdown at Fantasy Baseball, and here I am bartending. What is wrong with this pitcher? I'm happy to say we all have lived happily ever after. Jane and her man are not together anymore. And the cover band that was doing REO, Speedwagon, and Prince have all went their separate ways. All right. I'm Bill Amadeo. That's enough for now.
The proceeding was a paid presentation by McManus and Amadeo PLLC. Listeners of this program should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter. No listener should act or refrain from acting on the basis of information within this program without first seeking legal advice from counsel in the relevant jurisdiction. Only your individual attorney can provide assurances that the information and your interpretation of it is applicable or appropriate to your particular situation. Listening to this program using any associated website or related links or resources does not create an attorney-client relationship between the listener and host, contributors, or contributing law firms. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this program are hereby expressly disclaimed. You and your loved ones deserve a criminal defense firm that believes that your life and freedom are worth fighting for. Matt McManus, Bill Amadeo, and the McManus and Amadeo team of attorneys, investigators, and case managers will take the lead with a vast knowledge and legal experience across the state of Michigan to get the best possible result for you. Learn more at McManusAmadeo.com. Schedule a free consultation 24/7 by calling 800-392-7311.